Praise the Lord, saints. It's good to be with you again in Warsaw. I and the other brothers apologize that we can't be there with you in person, but as we all know, we are subject currently to certain restrictions in our environment and limitations. But praise the Lord, the word of God is not limited. The ministry of the age is not limited, and we are able to enjoy this wonderful blending time at this conference in Warsaw. To enjoy this marvelous and great subject, the will of God. These conference messages are taken from the recent ITERO for the International Training for Elders and Responsible Ones, also which was given by webcast. And we will cover four of the eight original messages. I will cover message one, which is on the mystery of God's will in the universe, ultimately being to head up all things in Christ through the church as the body of Christ. Then Brother Joe will cover message five, the will of God, our sanctification. Amen. Then message seven, Brother Tom will speak on taking the Lord's yoke, the Father's will upon us, and learning from him to find rest for our souls. And then our dear brother Bob will conclude the conference with message eight, the fourth message in this conference, meeting to know and do the will of God. So here we are this weekend, meeting to know and do the will of God. And this first message on the will of God, I'd like to begin it by referencing Paul's experience in the book of Acts in chapter 22, which is one of the records of his being stopped by the Lord. He thought that he was carrying out God's will by persecuting the Christians, but the Lord himself had to come interrupt his so-called work for the work for the Lord and appear to him. And as we know, voice from the heaven said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And the first question he asked was, "Who are you, Lord?" Then he asked the next question, "What shall I do, Lord?" And we know that the voice from the heavens told him, "Go into the city of Damascus, and it will be told to you. There you will be told what you should do." And a small brother from the body of Christ was sent to Saul, who became Paul. And in Acts 22:14, Ananias said to Saul, and he said, "The God of our fathers has previously appointed you to know his will, amen, and to see the righteous one and to hear the voice from his mouth." So we see from this verse that Paul's meeting with the Lord, Paul's knowing of what the Lord's true will in the universe was decided in eternity past. It has been previously appointed to you to know his will. And we will see very much from the writings of Paul that Paul was intimately familiar with God's will. In the verses at the top of your outline sheet, one of the verses is Colossians 1:9. "Therefore, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So our brother Paul could not write this, could not say this, unless he himself was already filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So this little phrase at the end, "in all spiritual wisdom and understanding," I think is an important matter for us this weekend, that we do not want to merely know about God's will. We surely need this weekend a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the eyes of our hearts having been enlightened, to intrinsically know what the will of God is. And I believe we will see quite much wonderful matters concerning the will of God this weekend. But that must be accompanied by much prayer on our behalf to know these things. In Colossians 4:12, Paul concluded the epistle by mentioning another brother, Epaphras, who was one of you, a slave of Christ Jesus, and he greeted the Colossians. And the testimony of Epaphras was always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you might stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. And then we come to our Lord Jesus Christ, the will of God, man. And in John chapter 4, verse 34, his word there to his disciples was, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." And in John 6, 38, he said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So we see that the Lord Jesus on the earth, as a man on the earth, his whole concern, his whole ministry was centered around doing the Father's will. Even at the very end of his ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's praying the night before his crucifixion, he is asking the Father if it is possible for this cup to be taken away, yet not my will, but yours, and your will be done. So the Lord himself is the will of God, man. And this wonderful one is in our spirit to teach us, to infuse us with the capacity to also know God's will and to do God's will. Amen. So these are two patterns before us of men on the earth who knew the will of God and did the will of God. So coming to the title again of our message, the mystery of God's will, which was hidden in the ages past, but has now been revealed to the holy apostles in their spirit. Again, a revelation requiring our prayer. The mystery is unveiled. We can know today, praise the Lord, what the mystery of his will is. And ultimately, that will is to head up all things in Christ. To head up all things in Christ. We look around us in our present world situation, and truly what we see is a heap of collapse. The whole world is in confusion, is turned upside down by this coronavirus situation. Yet God, we know, is on the throne. He is sovereign, and actually he is working all things according to the counsel of his will. So what the enemy has meant for evil, God will turn out for good and will accomplish his good and great will even through these present circumstances. And we're so thankful that we can cooperate with God on the earth to carry out his will. So to head up all things in Christ through the church. So the church needs to take the lead to be headed up by Christ. This is how God will head up the entire universe of collapse. It is through Christ, and it is through the church holding the head, giving Christ the first place in all things, obeying him in an absolute way, so that the church is the vessel through which God can carry out his great will. And this church is the body of Christ, which we will see in this message, consummates in the new Jerusalem. Amen. So if we could, maybe we can go to the Roman numeral 1, the first point on our outline, which says we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17, actually 5:16, which is not referenced in your outline, but 5:16 says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we see a connection in these two verses between doing the will of God and the matter of time and space. God's will is carried out in time and space, and we need to be ones who know this will. So the best way that we can redeem our time in these days, in our in our limitation, in our restriction, is to know God's will and to carry out God's will, understanding what his will is. And then Colossians 1:9 we've already read, but again, Paul was asking that we will be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And if we understand what the will of God is, this will radically re-alter our, will automatically reprioritize our lives. If we know what God wants all things to be headed up in Christ. God wants Christ to have the first place in all things. Then this should cause us to reprioritize our life, our living, everything related to us. What is our priority in these days? Is God's will our priority, or is something smaller than God's will our priority? Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your will for the next step in my life in relation to career or relationships, et cetera, finances? We want to be occupied with God's great will. It's not that the other matters are not important to him, but what matters the most is God's great will in this universe. Amen. So Romans 2 then says, God's will is what he wants and what he intends to accomplish. God's will, this is a definition, is what he wants and what he intends to accomplish. God wants something. And again, in these days, it will be so good that we spend our time, Lord, in the present world situation, what do you want? What do you want to accomplish? Then A says, God has an eternal will, which is the source of his eternal purpose. Ephesians 1:11 says, in part, the according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So the Lord is working out all things according to his counsel, according to his arrangement, according to his plan. And then Ephesians 3:11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. B says, since God is eternal without beginning or ending, his will is also eternal. It lies at the heart of the origin of the universe. And this is an amazing point. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For you have created all things, and because of your will, they were created. So we see that everything in this universe has been created for the accomplishment of God's will. This is an amazing point. We were created, we were redeemed, we were regenerated, we were brought into the church life for the accomplishment of God's will. C says, God created all things for his will so that he might accomplish and fulfill his purpose. So even this verse precedes Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness and let him have dominion. This is an eternal will. Before the creation of the world, before the foundation of the world, God had a heart's desire, a will that he wanted to carry out, and the universe was created for that accomplishment of that will. Amen. Then D, this is another point on the will of God. The will of God is concentrated in Christ and is for Christ to have the first place in all things. Christ is everything in God's will. Even we may say that Christ is God's will. All that he accomplished, everything that he attained through his incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and enthronement is God's will in this universe. God's will is centered in Christ. And it is God's will that this marvelous Christ should have the first place in all things. Christ is everything in God's will. And then the points underneath, the verses underneath, tell us that he's the firstborn of creation. He was the firstborn in the old creation, and he is the firstborn in the new creation. And all things have been created through him and unto him. This is Colossians 1:16. 17 says he is before all things, and all things co-inhere in him. Does my personal universe, does your personal universe cohere in Christ? Is Christ the center? Is Christ the hub? Is it Christ everything in our personal universe? This is what God wants to for us to experience and realize in our personal and corporate Christian life, all things cohering in Christ. And again, repeating verse 18, that he himself might have the first place in all things. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ our life is manifested. And I'm just wondering if we would apply it this way, for Christ to be our life would mean that Christ is the first in our life. He's the first in all things in our life. Therefore, Christ is our life. And then 3:10 says, put on the new man. And verse 11 says, where Christ is all and in all. So we have Christ is in our individual experience and Christ in our corporate experience. He is all and in all. Then another point related to the will of God. Point E says God wants to have Christ with the church. The will of God is to obtain the church as the body of Christ. So not only does God want Christ, not only does God want Christ to have the first place in all things, God wants the church as the body of Christ. God wants Christ to have a counterpart. He is the head. The counterpart is the body. The will of God is that Christ would have a bride. And this is the church. And we in the Lord's recovery have arrived at the stage of the building up of the body, the reality of the body of Christ. And the issue of the reality of the body and the building up of the body is the bride of Christ, which consummates in the New Jerusalem. So God's will is very much related not only to Christ, but to the church as his body, which becomes his bride and consummates in the New Jerusalem. And this, according to Ephesians 1:9, is according to the good pleasure of his will. In verse, point F, it says, God in Christ as the Spirit is now working within us to accomplish his eternal will to have the New Jerusalem. So again, the New Jerusalem is an aspect of God's great will in this universe. Actually, it is the ultimate consummation and fulfillment of the working out of God's will, the New Jerusalem. So here we have the knowledge of God's will, but we also have the experience because he's working within us to accomplish his eternal will to have the New Jerusalem. Recently, I was in South Africa teaching the New Jerusalem class to the trainees in Pretoria, and I was just very much impressed with this phrase that we need to live out and work out the New Jerusalem in our personal and corporate Christian life. And we will see many of the points in this outline help us to work out and live out the New Jerusalem. Okay, so we can go on to Romans 3, which is related to aspects of God's will. So Romans 3 says, according to the good pleasure of his will, God predestinated us unto sonship. So again, another marvelous aspect of God's will is that our God and Father loves his firstborn son, his only begotten son, but he wants many sons for his corporate expression. So again, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, it says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy, to partake of his holy nature. Holiness is the nature of God. He chose us to partake of his holy nature. He is sanctifying us. He has sanctified us positionally and is sanctifying us dispositionally in order that we could be his sons. So verse 5 of Ephesians 1 says, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So again, this is what makes God happy. Christ makes God happy. That Christ would have the first place in all things makes God happy. The church, the body of Christ, becoming the bride makes God happy. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate fulfillment. And that New Jerusalem is the manifestation of the corporate sonship. The many sons of God constitute the New Jerusalem. So sonship is an aspect of the will of God. He wants us to be his holy sons for his expression. Okay, A says, God has a will in which is his good pleasure. God's good pleasure is of his will and is embodied in his will. So his will comes first. So we have this kind of order. We have God's will, in which is his good pleasure. And out of his will, he arranged his purpose, which is his plan, to accomplish his will. And so we call this plan, this purpose, the economy of God. Amen. So God has a will. We said his will comes first. B says God's good pleasure is what makes God happy. It is the desire of his heart, the living, loving, and purposeful God surely has a heart's desire. In another place, Brother Lee says that the more living a person is, the more they need pleasure. So our God is the most living being in this universe. And so he has a good pleasure, a great pleasure, and that good pleasure is embodied in his son and by extension, the corporate sonship. So one says, C says, God predestinated us to be his sons, according to his pleasure, according to the desire of his heart. Ephesians 1:5, I'm repeating, predestinating us unto sonship according to the good pleasure of his will. So one says, before the foundation of the world, God chose us to be holy. This is verse 4. To be made holy, to be sanctified by God through his dispensing himself into us and then mingling his nature with us is the process, the procedure. So this is these two words here, dispensing and mingling. And we know that God's economy is a dispensing economy. God desires to dispense himself, all his riches, into us. So we need to be the best receivers of God's dispensing. So every day, every morning, may we spend time, and especially under the present circumstances, we'll touch this later on in the message, but God is using the arrangement in the world situation, apparently a heap of collapse, a situation where we are limited and restricted. But God is using that. God is giving us, limiting us from so many other distracting things. Many of us are at home. Maybe we are outwardly frustrated by our situation, being confined to home. But if we have a view of what God is doing, that God is sovereign, he is using this opportunity, affording us the opportunity, the time to not be distracted by so many other things, to spend time with him, to receive his dispensing. Praise him. So every day, may we pay a price to spend time with God to receive his dispensing. He dispenses himself into us and he mingles himself with us. Not only mingling with our spirit, but dispensing, spreading into our mind, emotion, and will, sanctifying us, sanctifying our mind, sanctifying our emotion, sanctifying our will, sanctifying our conscience, making home in our heart, spreading, sunizing us by spreading his holy nature through our entire tripartite being. Amen. And another verse that's not on your outline, but I'd like to just mention it, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. But sanctification is not an end in itself. Sanctification is for sonship, that we would be God's holy sons. So 2 says the issue of this procedure, process in point 1 is to be sons of God is the aim, the goal, and is a matter of our being joined to the Son of God and conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. That is conformed to his image of glory. In another place, we're conformed to the death of Christ. But in Romans, we are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son in resurrection. This is a wonderful point. So God is spreading himself, his holy nature, even his glory through our being, from our spirit into our mind, emotion, and will. And the ultimate issue will be that even our mortal bodies will be glorified by this wonderful process that God is bringing us through. So we are joined to the Son of God, conformed to the image of the Son of God, so that our whole being may be sunized. Hallelujah. Not just one son, but millions of sanctified sons of God. Amen. So again, Ephesians 1:5, predestinating us unto sonship. Romans 8:29, those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Hallelujah. I can't see the many brothers, but I, in my spirit, am enjoying the fellowship in the spirit with the many brothers of Christ. Amen. Okay, Romans 4 then tells us that we have been predestinated according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So here we are in this present world situation, an apparent heap of collapse. But our God is on the throne. We know from Daniel chapter 4, the heavens do rule. God is fully in control of what is going on the earth. So no matter what the enemy does, and obviously the enemy is very much involved with the coronavirus and the effect on mankind, no matter what the enemy does, God will come in and defeat him and change death into life. Praise him. And I let's read, A says, God's will in his intention and God's counsel is his consideration of the way to accomplish his will and his intention. B says, according to his will, a council was held by the Trinity. They held a council among themselves before the foundation of the world to make a council, a decision, which is his determined will. And what is related to that determined will is that we would enjoy and experience and receive Christ as the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:20 says that he, the Lamb, Christ, was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has been manifested in the last of times for your sake. Amen. Okay. Then Romans 5 says God's will was hidden in a mystery. So Ephesians 1:9 speaks of the mystery of his will. Before we continue with Romans 5, I just want to just come back to Romans 4 for a moment here. It says that he works all things according to the counsel of his will. And again, referring to the present situation where many, many countries, all the saints are on, quote, quote, lockdown, along with the other citizens on the earth. This is, I believe, the Lord is using this situation. We have this this prayer, praying at the incense altar for the formation of the army for God's move on the earth. In our annual, semi-annual trainings, we have come to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. We are coming to the book of Joshua, where the children of Israel enter into the good land. But they enter in to fight. They need to fight their way into the good land. And for a considerable amount of time, I've been asking the Lord, how will you do this, Lord? How will you form the army? How will the army know how to fight? And then I realized, or helping to be realized through the ministry, through my prayer, through the observation of the world situation, God is using this time in our homes. We have more time to be with the Lord in prayer. We have more time to read the ministry, more time to read the Bible, more time to pray. And we're not limited and isolated because we are able to use the technology to join with one another, to fellowship with one another, to meet with one another, to pray with one another, to have conferences with one another. So in this period of time, we are able, the Lord is able through our cooperation to prepare us, to train us in prayer, how to enter into the land, how to fight against the principalities and powers, how to possess the land, how to enjoy the land, how to be constituted with the riches of Christ, which will issue in the building up of the temple as the house of God and building up of the city as the kingdom. Yes, as the kingdom of God. So we have the city, the temple. We have the house, the temple, and the city as the kingdom of God. So God's kingdom can be brought to this earth by an army that has been prepared by God under the present world circumstances. Praise him. So then we can go on to the next point, Romans 5. God's will was hidden in him as a mystery. So Ephesians 1:9 speaks of the mystery of his will. In eternity, God had a will, but this will was hidden in him. Hence it was a mystery. But I'm so thankful our dear brother Paul was appointed beforehand to know his will. So we read in Ephesians 1:9, making known the mystery of his will. And then in 3:3, Paul says that by revelation, the mystery was made known to me. Again, I'm emphasizing this point by revelation, how important it is that we pray about these points. It's not sufficient just to merely sit in this conference, enjoy the outline, enjoy the ministry, and not pray and not respond, not review these messages. Recently in London, we had a review of a conference that was given in Oklahoma City in 2012, Prayer and the Lord's Move, 6 wonderful outlines on prayer. And I would encourage you at some point, if you have time, to look at those outlines, listen to those messages given by the brothers at the time, and even pray over the outlines. Just last Monday, I spent 2 hours with a brother just reviewing the first message on the significance of prayer, the principle of prayer, and the prayer ministry of the church. And it really, really enlightened me even more. And I hope in the same principle, we would spend much time on these outlines, that we would be unveiled. We would see, like our brother Paul did, by revelation, the mystery of God's will. It would be made known to us. B says, in the pleasure of his heart and in his wisdom and prudence, God made this hidden mystery known to us through his revelation in Christ. That is, through Christ's incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. So we shared this earlier, that Christ himself is God's will. All the things that Christ has attained and obtained are God's will for his church. The processes that he went through enable us to pass through a process of sanctification unto sonship, that we become the body, we become the bride, and we become the new Jerusalem. So we're so thankful that the Lord has made known the mystery of his will. And now we come to the real burden of this message, Romans 6. And I hope we would even spend some time to pray read this point, because it's a marvelous point. And it is, as I said, the real burden in the message. Ultimately, God's will in the universe is to head up all things in Christ through the church as his body. This is ultimately what will end this age and what will transfer us, first of all, into the millennium, where the will continue to be carried out until we arrive at the new heaven and the new earth, where all things in this universe will be headed up by God in Christ through the New Jerusalem as the corporate sons of God, the bride of Christ, for eternity in the whole universe. Amen. So here we have unto the economy of the fullness of times, Ephesians 1:10, to head up all things in Christ. Then Ephesians 1:22 says, he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So God's heading up of all things is being transmitted to the church. So not only is Christ heading up all things, the church takes the lead to be headed up by Christ and then for the Lord a way through the church to head up all things in this universe. A says God's eternal intention is in the economy of the fullness of times to head up all things in Christ, who has been appointed to be the universal head. B says, through the dispensations of God in all the ages, the dispensations are the way that God carries out his economy in a particular time period. Through the dispensations of God in all the ages, all things will be headed up in Christ in the new heaven and new earth. This will be God's eternal administration and economy. Amen. So Revelation 21:1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then verse 2 says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So the New Jerusalem is the fulfillment of Romans 6, that all things would be headed up in Christ through the church as the body of Christ. C says, Satan's goal is to corrupt God's creation and to cause confusion. So this is how Satan tries to frustrate God's will. All he can really do is delay God's will. So we need to give our Lord the best cooperation that we can hasten his will being done on the earth. Even it says in a place in Peter, expecting and hastening the coming day of the Lord. How can we hasten the coming day of the Lord? How can we hasten God's great will? We can hasten it by taking the lead to be headed up by Christ, by taking the lead to give Christ the first place in all things, by taking the lead to be sunized, to receive the dispensing, to be mingled with God every day. So one says here, the entire universe is a heap of collapse caused by Satan injecting himself as the factor of death into God's creation. So we need to realize the whole earth, the whole world system is actually a heap of collapse, because the whole world lies in the evil one. The evil one has injected this element of death into the creation and so has brought about a universal heap of collapse. But God will not be deterred. God will not be frustrated. God is heading up this heap of collapse by injecting his divine life into his creation, into specifically his new creation, the church, the body. And then this heading up swallows up the death and consumes the chaos that is in this universe by Satan. So 2 says, God is working. Alleluia. It says in 1 Thessalonians also, it says God will do it. Our sanctification, this is what he desires, and it says God will do it. God is working to liberate his creation from bondage and bring it into liberty by heading up all things in Christ. So what should we do? We should take the lead to be headed up by Christ in our Christian life, in our daily life, in our married life, in our family life, in all our relationships. Christ would have the first place. Christ would head up all of these different aspects of our life. We would give the Lord the first place. We would consult with him. We would check with him. We would obey him. We would listen to him. This is what it means to practically allow the Lord to head us up. 3 says, we all need to be delivered from the heap of collapse and be headed up in Christ. And the reference is here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, has qualified us for an allotted portion, for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light versus darkness, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So this is a very significant description. The kingdom, this is related to our being headed up, God ruling. The kingdom of his Son, implying that we receive him as our life. So it's a kingdom of life. And it is also a kingdom of light, because that is in contrast with the darkness, the authority of darkness. It is in love. And we are being headed up again, being signified by the matter of the kingdom. He's transferred us. So this is how God begins the heading up work. Christ came. He was fully under the will of God. He was headed up by the Father. He did everything with the Father, obeyed the Father, did the Father's will, spoke the Father's words, did the Father's works. And then he is now in us, that we can do the same thing. We would take the Father's will as our will. We would speak the divine things. We would do God's work, do the first works here on earth, so that the church can take the lead to head up all things in the universe. 4 says God's salvation is to save us, not only from our fallen sinful condition, but also from the heap of collapse. And I'm just kind of, I wrote down in my outline, you know, if we are a president, if we are a prime minister, if we are a king, if we are a CEO, we are still in the heap of collapse. We may be at the top of the heap, but we're still in the heap of collapse. But God is rescuing us out of that heap of collapse by bringing us into the Son, bringing us into his body, and bringing us into the church, where we can be headed up by God. Amen. God, then the next point is D says, God's will, God will subject all things under Christ by heading up all things in Christ through the church as the body of Christ. And I have written to myself here, are all things related to us in Christ? So is everything in my personal life headed up by Christ? Is my marriage headed up in Christ? The way I treat my wife, is that headed up in Christ? The way I treat my husband, the way I care for my family, the way I use my finances, the time I spend, how do I spend my time? Is my time headed up? How much time do I spend on the internet, on unprofitable things? There's so many applications, but God's goal is that every aspect of our life would be headed up in Christ. Amen. Then the next point, under D, it says, one, God is heading up his chosen ones to be the body of Christ with Christ as the head. A says, Christ's headship is being transmitted to the church. This means that in a sense, we can share the headship of Christ over all things. Ephesians 1:22 says, and he subjected all things under his feet, which is Christ, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So there is a transmission. And in that sense, on the one hand, we are being headed up. On the other hand, because we are being headed up, we share in Christ's heading up of all things. All this great power is to the church. See, and I'd like to just mention this as an example of the church heading up all things in Christ. In Acts chapter 4, John and Peter healed a man in the temple, as I said, in Acts 4. And the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders were very unhappy with this. They arrested John and Peter and brought them before the Sanhedrin. But it says that the church was praying for them. And they had spoken with boldness. And it says here that the Sanhedrin recognized that Peter and John were uneducated men and laymen. And they marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So here is an aspect of being headed up. We need to be with Jesus. And when they were released, they went to see went back to the church, and they gave an account of what had happened. And the whole of the saints together rejoiced and said in verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threatenings and grant your slaves to speak your word with all boldness. And then verse 31, and when they had so besought, the place in which they gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So this is the effect of spending time with the Lord. This is the effect of praying, interceding with the church. This gives the Lord a way to carry out many marvelous things on the earth. So may we be the ones that are one with the Lord to head up all things. We are in this present situation, but we are not under this present situation. So may we be the ones who pray personally, pray in twos and threes, pray in the prayer meeting of the church to hasten God's heading up of all things in Christ. B says, the church is under nothing but Christ himself. We are above everything else because we are the body of the one who is over all things. Again, may the Lord show us a clear vision of this great fact. Christ is heading up all things. He is transmitting his authority, his headship to the church. And we, through our prayer, through our obedience, through our being mingled and spending time with the Lord every day, we share in his heading up of all things. In 1 Peter 4:17, there is a word where it says, it is now time for judgment to begin with the house of God. Well, in the same principle, it is now time for things to be headed up, not only through Christ, but through the church who is in the heavenlies with him. On the one hand, we're on the earth. On the other hand, we are in the heavenlies with Christ, heading up all things through our prayer and by our being headed up. Then C says the first step in the heading up of all things in Christ is for God to bring his chosen ones, his sons, out of the universal collapse. Thank you for saving us, Lord, and bringing us into the church, and to place them under the headship of Christ. Again, Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might have the first place in all things. And again, in my margin, Lord, do you have the first place in all things in my life? Is there anything else? Is there someone else that is replacing you, that is usurping your rightful position? So may we bring this matter, this vision, this revelation to the Lord and ask him, is there anything that is usurping me? Anything that is frustrating you having the headship in that matter? We'd like to open that to the Lord and give him the first place and deal with whatever he wants us to deal with. 2 says, when the church takes the lead to be headed up in Christ, God has a way to head up all other things. So again, this is a great principle. How practically, how actually will God head up all things in this universe? He will do it through the church, who are willing, who willingly submit themselves to the great will of God and obey and do the will of God. So then A says the church is the vessel used by God to solve his problems and to fulfill his purpose, which is to manifest himself through man by mingling himself with man. So we may be in this conference together with the other saints, or we may be enjoying this conference on our own. I would just like to encourage you that God's vessel, God's way is not individual Christians. God's way is through the church. God is using the church to head up the universal heap of collapse. So it is a great thing to know the church, to see the church, and be in the church. In these days, there's a trumpet call. The Lord is gathering his sons and his daughters from the four corners of the earth. For what? To be in the church, to be part of the corporate army that will fight our way into Christ as the good land, and build up the temple as the house of God and the city as the kingdom of God. It is a great matter, dear saints, to be in the church of God, which is the will of God for our life, the big will of God. So the next point says, eventually the body with Christ, which is the organic development of the outward frame of the church, the body with Christ as the head will be the universal head over all things. And 3 says, the church life is a life of being headed up. I don't think I realized this before. I know many definitions of the church, but to see this definition is marvelous. The church life is a life of being headed up, a life being headed up. So we need to advance corporately and personally in being headed up by the Lord. Amen. And the points underneath, in the proper church life, we are being headed up in Christ. If we do not know what it is to be headed up in Christ, we cannot know the church, because the church is a life of being headed up in Christ. In the church life, we are taking the lead to be headed up in Christ. For this, we need to grow in life. So this is another marvelous point. But before we touch the matter of growing in life, it says here about taking the lead. And so, dear brothers, all the brothers, the responsible brothers, the co-working brothers, the serving brothers, the serving saints, we need in the church life to take the lead to be headed up. If we take the lead to be headed up, then the saints under our care, under our shepherding, they also will follow to be headed up by the Lord. But we need to take the lead. There are many levels, we could say, of taking the lead. May we all take the lead to be headed up by the Lord. And may we first apply this to ourselves and not to other people. I myself first must be headed up, and then I can minister that truth, that reality to the dear ones around me. Amen. D says, we are headed up through the divine dispensing. The end of C says, we, C says that we, to be headed up, we need to grow in life. He says we are headed up through the divine dispensing. So this is God's way. God's way is not arrangement. God's way is not organization. God's way is not a hierarchical heading up. God's way is an organic heading up. His divine life causes us to be intrinsically, organically headed up by him. So this is what we need to experience. This is what we need to receive every day, ordinary days under the divine dispensing. Lord, I like to receive you as life this morning. Lord, fill me with yourself. And then you go into your ordinary day. You're in your lockdown. You're with your family. There can be a lot of pressure in the family where originally or in the normal circumstances, the different members of the family go out every day. So we're not always with one another. But now we find ourselves with one another, and it can cause friction. I read a message just the other day where Brother Lee said, if there was no love, there would be no divorce, meaning that it is because of our natural life and our proximity to one another, love can turn into a lot of friction and a lot of tension. But the way to be saved from that is to enjoy the Lord's dispensing of life every day. And then hopefully we can be with one another full of life, full of ourselves being headed up. Even the things that we say, even a comment here and there can be headed up by the Lord. A comment that would otherwise be spoken and cause friction. Maybe the Lord says, don't say that. Don't make that comment. Or apologize. You made that comment. You didn't mean anything by it. But the Lord says, I'm heading you up. You need to apologize. This will bring much harmony in our current situation and will eventually bring us more and more to be headed up by the Lord. God's way is by life. Hallelujah. Okay, he says, God is working himself into his chosen and redeemed ones through an administration. When we see administration, we're talking God's economy. We're talking God's dispensing and administration that is a sweet dispensing, an intimate stewardship, a comfortable household arrangement. So I'm just even thinking right now, how is the arrangement in your household? Not just the household of the church, where of course we are separated and we're blending with one another electronically, but how about in our households, our practical, actual households? Is there a sweet dispensing, an intimate stewardship, a comfortable household arrangement? How practical is that this in these days, that every member of the house would take the time to receive God's dispensing, to be personally headed up so the whole household can be headed up? And then household by household, the whole church will be headed up. All the churches will be headed up to become the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem for the universal heading up of all things. How wonderful. Dear saints, this weekend, may we enjoy this wonderful vision of the will of God and receive his dispensing of life so that we could be headed up in Christ according to God's will. So he says, the heading up in the church life is by life and life. Amen. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, dear brother Dick Taylor, who I served with for many years, many times said, we don't follow the leader, we swallow the leader. So he who follows me is he who swallows me. We eat him every day. If we follow him, if we swallow him, we shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So when God comes into us as life, he is spreading, swallowing up the death in our being and shining in all the darkness in our being to fully head us up, our whole tripartite being in Christ. One says God's way of recovery is Christ versus Satan, life versus death, light versus darkness, and order versus confusion. The collapse comes from the factor of death, the heading up comes from the factor of life. And I'd just like to spend a few minutes here on these wonderful verses in Ezekiel 37. I won't read all the verse reference, but I'll read some of them. Ezekiel 37 says, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah.'" Thus says, this is next verse, "Thus says the Lord Jehovah to these bones, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live." Verse 7 says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." So Ezekiel spoke. He spoke life. He spoke God. He spoke the life of God as he was commanded. "And as I prophesied, the bones came together." And then verse 10 says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." So again, this marvelous point about praying at the incense altar for the formation of an army. The valley was filled with dry bones, but there were some who had the breath of God, who prophesied, who spoke forth words of life, who spoke God into people, and the dry bones came alive, were joined together as the church, as an army, and they lived and stood upon their feet. Praise the Lord. So in application, I have here, we need to speak life to one another, not only in the church life, but in our homes. We need to speak life to our neighbors who are in the midst of this situation. They are in the heap of collapse. They are in confusion. They're in anxiety. They're in turmoil, but not so the church, because we know the will of God. We see the will of God, and we are being headed up by the will of God. We have the words of life. Back in Acts chapter 5, when Peter was imprisoned and the church was interceding for him, an angel appeared and set him free and said, "Go and speak the words of this life in the temple." So we have this marvelous living one in us. May we redeem our time in these days to speak life to one another. Let's not speak negative things, and let's not speak the worldly things. There's so much on the internet. You know, I am in many WhatsApp groups, and I receive many, many YouTube videos that do not speak life to me, that do not help me in any way. So I'm not saying we can't send encouraging YouTube videos, but there's a lot out there that is not encouraging, that is not life, that is not according to the will of God. Lots of fake news, lots of things about coronavirus cures. Saints, we need to be headed up in the way we use WhatsApp, the way we use social media, that we would minister life, speak life, and prophesy life to the saints. Amen. So our prophesying on the Lord's day, we can prophesy words of life. That life has a heading up factor. We don't have to talk to people or tell them about their shortcomings or their failures. We just speak life. We just minister life to people, and that life will head them up. 3 says, God's way to recover the oneness among his creation is to impart his life into, impart himself as life into us. And the verses in Romans describe how our tripartite being is being made life by the Lord. Romans 8:6, the mind set on the spirit is life. Again, we are in our lockdown with so many things we can be thinking about and wishing for and wondering about, but we need to spend time in God's word, pray, read his word, set our mind on God's word, and this will give life to our mind. Then in verse 10, it says, if Christ is in you, the spirit is life. Verse 11, if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. And again, in our situation here, we have many saints that are quite seriously ill. either with coronavirus or other illnesses, who are confined to hospital, who are there for a long period of time, we need to pray, we need to intercede that the Lord would give life even to their mortal bodies for the sake of God's economy, for the sake of the building up of the church. Dear saints, we are restricted and limited in our physical situation, but we are unlimited when it comes to the matter of prayer, when it comes to the matter of interceding for the saints, that they may receive life in their spirit, soul, and body to be headed up by Christ. And this will make us the sons of God in reality. Verse 19 says, the anxious watching of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God in fullness. And the way that that revelation will occur is the more and more we are receive the dispensing of God's life, our whole tripart being is headed up, our environment, our situation is headed up, our church life is headed up. We become the body. We're knit together, joined together in life and in love to become the body, to become the bride. And that will bring our beloved, loving bridegroom back. Praise him. This is God's way to get us out of the universal heap of collapse. And he is affording us the opportunity to pray much in these days for his will to be carried out on the earth. So we're coming close to the end of the message. 4 says, in order to be delivered from the heap of collapse in a practical way, we need to grow in life. And we can pray for this. The more we grow in life, the more we will be headed up, and the more we will be rescued from the universal collapse. So what is God's will for us today? God's will for us today is to grow in life. A prayer that I frequently pray, Lord, grant me this day's growth in life unto maturity. The brother sometimes asks, what is one day's worth of growth in life? And the answer is, I don't know, but God knows. And he is more than happy to answer such a prayer. So may we all pray, Lord, give me this day's growth in life unto maturity, that we will be mature sons of God, we will be mature bride of Christ, so that he would come back. Ephesians 4:15 says, holding to truth in love. The truth here refers to Christ and the church. Hold to Christ, hold to the church in love. Then you will grow up into him in all things who is the Christ. And then Colossians 2:19 exhorts us to not hold the head, but hold the head, out from whom all the body being richly supplied and then knit together by the means of the joints and sinews grows with the growth of God. So this is how God heads things up practically, our growth in life. Let's pray this for ourselves. Let's pray this for one another. Let's pray this for the leading brothers, the workers, all of us to grow in life, to be headed up by the Lord. And when 5 says, when God comes into us as life, the light of life shines within us. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. These things go together. Life brings in light. A says, this life swallows death, and this light dispels the darkness. So if we are feeling discouraged, if we are feeling down, if we're feeling dead, if we are feeling dark, depressed, discouraged, or we are against our will, touching dark things, the secret is we need to come to the source of life. We need to come to the Lord. And even I would just say a little experience I had when the lockdown began and we all transferred over to Zoom, and then everybody is on Zoom and everybody is meeting and wants to meet and have another meeting and another meeting and another meeting. I realized at one point, Lord, this is exhausting me. And the only way that I will be able to continue with this pace of meetings is if I have an adequate time with you every morning to receive your resurrection and ascension life. And so I can testify that this has really been my very pleasant experience, enjoying the Lord as life and light every day, to be headed up by him and to get through my busy days on Zoom with all the rest of the saints. Amen. Then A says, as I'm repeating myself, this life swallows death and this light dispels the darkness. B says, if we are in life and under the light, we will be delivered out of confusion and brought into order, harmony, and oneness. And I'd just like to reference here 1 John 1:7, where we have a wonderful cycle of life. Verse 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. So in this circle of the divine life, the cycle of these, our spiritual life, we have the eternal life. And the eternal life brings with it its fellowship. This fellowship brings with it the light of the divine life, which shines in our situation, exposing dark things, unconfessed things, things we need to deal with, which we should then confess. Then the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us. And this cleansing then brings us into more life. More life brings in more fellowship. More fellowship brings in more light. More light increases our need for the cleansing of the blood. And then we go on in this marvelous cycle of the divine life. But we're not stationary. We're like a bicycle wheel. We are advancing in the growth in the divine life by enjoying the cycle of life. F says, in the new heaven and new earth with the new Jerusalem as the center, all things will be headed up in Christ. This will be the complete fulfillment of Ephesians 1:10, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him. That will be the revelation of that reality is seen in Revelation 21 and 22. It is the New Jerusalem. One says in the New Jerusalem, everything will be saturated with life and will be under light. In Revelation 21, the picture of the New Jerusalem, we see the head. We see God in Christ as the Spirit. We see God as the source, as the light of life, in the Lamb as the lamp, on the throne, implying the headship. And out of that throne flows a river of water of life. We can see the benefits of enjoying giving the Lord the first place, enthroning him, is we receive the life. And when we receive the life, we are brought more under the headship of Christ. In Revelation 21, we see the head, we see the body. The body is the city, the corporate sons surrounding the head, and all the nations walking in the light of the city. This is the heading up of the whole universe. The whole universe will be headed up in the light shown through the transparent city. There is no darkness. There is no opaqueness. There is nothing between. It is a crystal clear city, allowing the light of God to shine through it to the whole universe, heading up the whole universe in light and in life. Praise God. So, amen. Dear saints, this is the first message of, I am sure, will be an absolutely marvelous conference. This is the will of God. And may the Lord cause us all to be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May the Lord cause us to stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. May the Lord cause us to understand what the will of God is. And what is the will of God in conclusion? That all things would be headed up in Christ through the church as the body consummating in the New Jerusalem. The will of God is that Christ would have the first place in all things. And the will of God is that we would be sanctified. The will of God is our sanctification unto sonship, to make us the many sons of God, the body, the bride, and the New Jerusalem. Praise him. May we take a few minutes to pray with the person beside us. And saints, in the interim between now and the next message, we would pray about these things, that God would bring us all fully headed up under his will, so that the end will come soon, as all things are headed up through the church, headed up in Christ through the church. Amen. Praise the Lord.